Good morning. Well, we're about to begin an adventure which should put most of you over the top. No matter what program you're using, whether it be just simple phase three, using Brohammer adjustments or the ones provided by the program or all the way up to energy, we still find that people are losing money-making opportunities because they put in the wrong horse. Sure, they say, well, I get the win horse and the place horse in my top five contenders, which is what we wanted. But just the other day, for example, that Pimlico man sent me a race which he lost because he put in a horse, which is one of Tom's favorite subjects, a horse that was dropping constantly from 20,000 to 12, and now he's going at 8.5. Well, way back, he was a good horse and had won. Well, this person figured that since he was dropping so much, he'd go way back. And, of course, the horse was sore. It had no chance of winning. And because he put that horse in, even though he had the winner and the place horse in his computer, this horse so distorted the figures that he did not get the winner and the place horse. Taking this horse out, when I redid the race for him, got them in order, 1, 2, 3. So you see, it's so vitally important that you don't put in false contenders, false favorites. And probably nobody in the organization is better able to spot this type of situation. Horses that look real good, horses that when you put them in are 1-1-1s, but when you leave them out, you win the race. When you put them in, they seem to win the race, and they just don't really have a chance. And most of us, including myself, have difficulty in recognizing these situations. So we take our losses and make it up in volume. But there's no reason why you should have to do that, because most of you are very adequate at selecting the winners, do it often enough to make a good living, but you're losing these marvelous opportunities of the longer-priced horses that come out of races where, to the public, the winner is fairly obvious, but to Tom Brohammer, the winner is a throwout. So as a result of these 4 weeks, you should, at the end of that period, be as well-armed as is Tom in handling this. And so it's a wonderful thing to have Tom back with us here, where he's not having to mingle with the trash that he's been hanging out with some. He's with his own people again, and he doesn't have to be diplomatic, and he doesn't have to tell you to just bet one horse and all that sort of thing. So we're going to make this, as will be the ensuing days, Tom's day, without any interruption from anybody else, unless his voice gives out and he insists or something. But essentially, we're not going to be talking, and I want to make this very clear so that you won't jump up and ask Tom questions about computer programs. We're not going to be talking about what you do when it's time to put the horse into the computer or the computer results. We're going to be talking about what you do before you even turn on the computer. And that is, of course, where the strength lies. The difference between people who just make choices and do fairly well, and the difference between people who really handicap and do better, is what you do before you turn that computer on. So instead of thinking in terms of computer for the next 4 weeks, let's think in terms of pure handicapping and putting in the logical contenders, getting rid of the non-logical contenders, which is even more important. With that, I turn it over to the master of that particular aspect of handicapping, who will articulate it magnificently, I'm sure. Tom Brohammer.
Howard's already said that the intent of today is not to play with computer programs and to spend a whole lot of time in what we all consider the SART methodology, right? Beat per second and readouts and the rest of that. Today we're going to talk about, in fact, for the next three sessions, we're going to talk about basic handicapping. Today's session will be on recognizing contenders, contender selection. When we're finished with that, we'll get to pace line selection and how to choose the most rateable race, the predictive race, and we're going to get to that. Let me ask everybody a question, first of all. Anybody following Hollywood Park, you know, even remotely right now? Okay. What is the... Take the routes at Hollywood Park, for example. What's the dominant running style out there right now? Only a few answers there. How many people do know the dominant running style out there right now? What about the sprints? What is the dominant running style of sprints? Okay. There were more answers to that. And the where we're going to start here, we're going to start with a track profile that, aside from energy numbers, which you can add to your own, will identify the optimal running style at the racetrack, will identify the ESP style. And what I'll say to you is that the sprints at Hollywood Park are running early presser. And presser is every bit as viable as early. The routes are closers, sustained, and with some pressers. There has not been a single route at Hollywood, with one exception, I'm sorry, there's a maiden route that a horse almost went wire to wire. And almost is a key word. No horse has gone wire to wire in a two-turn route at Hollywood Park yet. And yet this track, for years, was identified as a front-runner's paradise in the two-turn races. But no one has done that now in 2 weeks. And unless you're in tune to that, it's difficult to pick contenders. Because in a lot of these sprint races, I spent some time at the Indian Reservation yesterday down here. And the people I was with were keyed into closers, mainly because they were not users of the methodology, and they were not experienced handicappers. Those are the people you're actually trying to take your money from. And because closers are fun to watch, they were keyed into all the closers in the sprint races. Now, that's easy money, as long as you know not to add the closers to your own contender selections. Now, one closer won a sprint yesterday, and that was the first race, but it was a race that after you finished the contender selection process, the pace line selection, there was nobody left. It was one of those races you were going to get a breakdown period, and that's what happened. But any contentious race you could run at Hollywood Park right now, unless the pace completely breaks down, and it's usually identifiable up front, the sprints have been won by pressers and early. So we're going to spend a few minutes with the track profile. The order, in case you've moved them out of order, the second sheet in here, move the profile into the second sheet, and the Hollywood and Santa Anita part times at the back. We may or may not deal with these part times today, but at least you have them for your for future reference. But what I want to do is spend a little time now with the ESP concept so that we can start with the profile. We'll go from ESP concept, we'll go to the profile, and then once we're finished with that, we'll start talking about contender selection, some guidelines you can use, some contenders you want to use, some you don't want to use, and we'll work from there. What we'll do before we break, though, is we'll take some of Friday's examples, because you all have Friday's form. And we'll take the first couple of races today, or not the second race, it's a maiden race, but the first race today and another race today, and we'll go through and we'll make our contender selections kind of as a group, and with me being the final authority on it. And then we will do, I think, the third race, and we'll do the same thing. We'll take contenders, and we'll take pace lines, and so that we can finish with those things firmly in mind. The one of the things that we've said for years as part of this group is that the more you do this, the better you get at it, because it's a lot of it's intuitive, not so much the contender selection piece, but the pace line selection is pretty intuitive. And once you've done a lot of them and you begin to recognize the patterns on a page, you get pretty good with that. Contenders are a little iffy. I'm going to recommend a technique to you for a while if you're having trouble with the contenders, and a little bit I'll cover that. But one of the primary pitfalls that our people fall into is that when I see readouts and racing forms, and when they're brought to me for advice, and people say, well, you know, how does this look to you? The first question back generally is, well, why'd you use this one? And I mentioned this, I think, in a seminar last week. The primary answer, the basic answer that I get back is because. Well, that's not good. That's not good enough. Because is not the right reason to include a horse or to dismiss a horse. You've got to have more than that. And what I'm going to recommend to you is that that you take for a while, at least one race a day, you just take a sheet of paper and write a pro side and a con side, and write down why you chose a certain horse, the pros of choosing that horse and the cons of choosing that horse as a contender. And make sure that you think this thing through and you don't look at it. And races, very few races, I got to tell you, very few races break down to two horses or three horses. And if you're fooling yourself by putting two or three horses into the computer and waiting for that readout to come back, you're not doing enough. And most races are not that straightforward, that there is more contention in that race. Some of it's kind of subtle, some of it is relatively minor contention maybe, but they don't often break down to two or three horses as viable winners. They're just not that simple. Now, some people, Jim Bradshaw, for example, usually gets it down to one horse. But he pays a price in terms of futures. He also bets a lot of 4-to-5 shots and even money shots. But he cashes them regularly. So, I mean, if you want to get that good and you can become that good, maybe that's the right way to go. But races are not that simple. This will also be, I hope, a constant Q&A, because if there's not a lot of discussion, we'll be finished by 1 o'clock. I'll what-if it with you. Sometimes we don't want the what-ifs. Today I do. So if you have any questions that are maybe even not on the paper, just ask them, and we'll try to what-if our way through it. Now, let me get a racing form. We'll do a little exercise to make sure we're all together on this. Open today's form to the very back page where you get the results charts. I did this little exercise in Las Vegas last week. Had a lot of beginners in it. And I asked for a show of hands as to how many people knew how to read charts. The show of hands was overwhelming that people knew how to read charts. And so then I did a little simple exercise and just asked for overwhelming show of hands that said they knew how to read charts. Probably a half of them did not really know how to read the charts. But I want to make sure that everybody in this room can read these charts before we go any further, because a track profile is worthless if you can't read the chart. Take a look at the results for the fourth race on Friday, a fourth race on Thursday, which is in the back of the Saturday racing form. Does everybody have this form? Everybody has it, right? All right, take a look at the results charts. Fourth race. The winner of the race is Final Forecast. On a pencil and paper, write down for yourself the running position of this horse and beaten lengths at the first call we use, okay, because remember the charts have the extra call. They have the quarter mile. And the running position and beaten lengths at the second call. Just jot that down. Now, I know in this group, most of you are going to have that right, but I want to make sure everyone has got it right. The forecast is running third at both of the calls, right? At the first call, which is the half-mile call in the chart, this horse is third. How far behind? All right, 2.65? No.
2.5.
It's not 2.65, because the head he's in front of the fourth horse puts the fourth horse 2.6 in behind. 2.5 is the answer to that. Now, does anybody have any problem with that? Does anyone not get the... I know it's going to be... If you raise your hand, no one's going to make fun of you. Honest. It's very important. Yes.
What do you count as a head? Nose and a head and a neck. What do you...
Well, I count a head as 0.1. But in this exercise... Okay. Let's do this right now. On the past performances, anything... If this were a past performance, if this were up in... the running line of the horse, okay, if this were in the past performances, this would show, third ahead would show that he was third one head behind the leader, right? But in charts, it's exactly the opposite. So to find out where this horse is positioned, you look at the horse that's leading in the race, and that was Juan's Magic. And Juan's Magic is one length in front. Everything shows the lengths or parts of length that the horse is in front of the next horse. So Juan's Magic is one length in front of the second horse. The second horse is, oh my goodness, Triskaidekka Flyer. I wonder if the horse lost. And that horse is 1.5 lengths in front of Final Forecast, who was running in third, right? End of beaten lengths, that's it. So that horse is 2.5 lengths behind, 2.5 lengths behind the leader. Okay, this is... Anybody unclear here? Because it's going to cost you some agony down the line. All right. At the second call, the horse is still running third, and this time, how far back is it?
1.6 or 1.65, however you choose to treat the head, right?
Now, everybody got that, right? Okay, good. Now we don't have to refer back to that. Let me ask you a quick question in here. If I were to ask you what the running style of Final Forecast was in winning this race, what would your response to me be? He is clearly a presser. Okay? Because he's sitting how far behind at the first call? 2.5. He's not really part of the lead here. He's pressing the horses in front of him. If they slow down, he'll push on them, right? He's pressing. He's not closing. He's not a closer in here. He's a presser. Now, at the second call, he's moved up between the half mile and the three-quarter mile in the race. He's moved up a length, right? So now he's really pressing. He is a presser. Now, sometimes you might want to shade some of these, and we're going to do that on our profile. But he is a presser. Does everyone understand the ESP concept? Does anybody want to go back over that a little bit with some examples? Terrific. Okay. Let's look at Princess Waters, the winner of the second race. Far behind, what position, just jot down for a moment the two calls for her. The first call, second call, position and beaten length. And then on her, write down her running style, what you think that running style was. Waters is sixth at the first call. This horse is sixth, and how far behind is this horse? Six lengths. At the second call, the horse is running second. How far behind?
0.1.
What's the running style of the horse?
Early.
What did this horse? Consider the race for a minute. As the horses move around the clubhouse turn, where's this horse?
Yeah, well out of it, right?
Yes. It's not pressing anybody. Certainly not even interested in the early pace of this race. Now, what you're looking at, the reason I said it's kind of an interesting shading, is that the second call, if you treat the second call by itself, the horse is ahead behind, right? And if you look at that, say, well, the horse is pressing. Horse didn't press the pace. This is a closer that came up and got him and just went on by. And if you look, if you designate that, and this is part of the profile we're going to create, if you designate this horse as a presser, you're just going to start looking for pressers on this on a racetrack that was actually favoring a closer, maybe. In this race, it was a closer. Now, as it turns out, pressers and closers are almost equally probable at Hollywood Park. But make sure your running style is accurate, because what we're going to do in our contender selection is we're going to identify the running style from the profiles that we're going to create, and then that will be part of the contender process. So make sure that you're labeling these as they're running. This is a closer. This is not a presser. This is not early. This is a closer. Or sustained. I still use the closer designation. And the reason for that is the sustain overlaps into the computer readouts, and sometimes you have a front runner that comes up sustained, and it's pretty hard to balance those two, so I still label them closer. Just make sure that you have them right in your own mind. All right, let's look at the profile sheet. Now, there are two sides to this, and the reason I gave you two sides is that if you want to use this in your own handicapping a little later on, that's fine. And if you want to modify it to include things like post position and that kind of thing, that's fine too. Because at Hollywood Park, anybody that's blind to the negative inside bias, which has reappeared after going away for the fall meeting, it's the third year in a row in one-turn races that horses are stuck down on the inside and have all the worst of it. All the worst of it. There have been more beaten contenders and favorites on the inside than at any other racetrack I'm aware of. Let's look at the profile for a minute. The May 3rd race, still working with that racing form. Let's go up now to No Say Porque. What I'm going to ask you to do over the next 8 or 10 minutes is to get this profile sheet started, and then we'll make some. I'll give you additional data, and then we'll establish the running style that we'll use for the contenders. No sé por qué, the winner of the first race. The entries, and I'll explain them, on this profile, are first of all distance. Now, as far as this exercise is concerned, just use the two halves of the profile. I use separate sheets, but use the left half of the profile for sprints, the right half for routes, and the bottom half of the right half, if you will, for one-turn races, one-turn miles. Because the one-turn miles and the two-turn races at Hollywood Park do not necessarily go together, and in fact do not at all go together at this meeting so far. So let's take a look now at No Se Porque, working on the right-hand side of the sheet. We'll do the first one together, and then I'll ask you to fill in the rest of that, and then I'll give you another day's data, which will be yesterday, and then I'll give you some conclusions based on the first week so that we have it in our own minds as to what our contenders are going to look like. No Se Porque, the distance was 8.5. The number of entries in the race were 12. And there's a reason for including the number of entries, which we'll talk about in a little while. The first call of the race, this horse was running 10th, 11.5 behind. The second call, the horse is 4th, 3.5 behind. Yeah, believe me, when the 0.10 means nothing here in terms of what you're doing. So if you want to round it off, fine. If you don't want to round it, I rounded it off. Fourth, 3.5 behind. The next entry on the profile is percent early, median, whatever you do. I'm not going to include that. You can do that again later. It happened to be 52.08 early, but I know a lot of us are using median. Some of us are using percent early, and some are using percent early with a revised value for beaten length. So I won't give you this. Whatever your program says is what you would put in. What's the running style of No Se Porque? Sustained or closer, however you choose to designate that. Okay, that's the first entry in that. Now, on the let's take a quick look at the there's only a couple of sprints that day. Let's take a look at the sixth race and work on the left side of the page for just a moment. 6.0. The number of entries in the race were 10. Sixth race, the one won by Noble Boss. The horse was running third, a half length behind at the first call. Or 0.6 if you want the head in there. At the second call, it was second ahead behind. What's the running style on this horse? What is this horse doing at the quarter? This horse really isn't pressing. This horse is contending for the lead, isn't it? This is early. A presser is a length to two lengths behind, pressing in front of it. This horse is actually contending for the lead. Three horses across the track, a half a length apart. Is one of those horses pressing? No. They're all contending for the lead. Now, at the second call, the horse is second ahead behind. The pace duel continues. And then early. Now, if you will, take the next, oh, probably 8 minutes, and do the rest of these races, including the turf race. Just add that onto another piece of paper so you don't work on the back here. And then we'll go back over it for running style. And then I'll give you some additional data from yesterday and some conclusions from last week, and we'll have a profile that we can work with. This works at any track at any time. You don't need a lot of data to get it started. Yes? Right here, we will. And the reason we will, we don't have a lot of data. Normally, I don't. Like the only race that's been close to a wire-to-wire in a two-turn races is a maiden race yesterday. So, I mean, it kind of conflicts. Pick this up. If you're not quite finished, we'll fill in the blanks for you when we get to that particular, to the end of this chart. Let's finish the races, starting with, we started with No Se Porque. We've already got that one entered. Princess Waters. So the second mile and 16th entry you should have in there is 12 entries. I'm sorry, this is a one-turn mile.
Yeah,
let's second race should be in the one-turn mile section. Bottom half of the second page, right half of the page. Princess Waters it was 8 furlongs, 12 entries. The horse is 6th by 6th, 2nd ahead, 52-30, well, forget that, get away from that, and it was a closer. Okay, that's the entry on that one. The entry in the third race is also a one-turn mile, 7 entries, 1st by 2.5, 1st by 3.
What do you mean by 2.5? It's leading by 2.5. That's all right. I mean, you could put that in. I put that in. And the reason I put that in
is that I also get a chance to strike out runaway winners later. I probably should have. It's first is really the bottom line. The answer to that is it's first and it's first. I put the lengths in front in the case of that. If I have a horse that's 4 in front at all calls, I tend to discount that race in terms of the running style. But it's first, and it's early, right? Fourth race. This one's 1 1/8. This is final forecast again. This is in an 8-horse field. It's 3rd by 2.5. 3rd, a length and a half behind. And this is a presser. The fifth race. This is a two-turn race, isn't it? 1 1/16. 8-horse field. 3rd, a length and a half behind. 2nd ahead. What is this horse's style? Presser. Clearly a presser. 6th race. We've already done that one. That's Noble Boss. 10 entries at 6 furlongs. 3rd a half. 2nd ahead. That was early. The 7th race, 6 furlongs, 8-horse field, 1st a half, well, 1st and 1st, early. Now, this horse had to work for its win. This horse didn't clear the field and keep going early. The 8th race on a turf course, I can't read this myself. This is 9 furlongs? Yeah. In a 5-horse field, it's 5th by 3.5. 4th by 2. Let's talk about that. It is sustained. Why is it sustained? The pace is slow here for one of the reasons, and that's the reason it's deceptively close. But where is that horse running at the end of a half a mile? It's running last, isn't it? That's the reason we're designating the number of horses in the race. There are 5 horses in this race. How many horses has this horse gotten beat? He's not pressing anything. He just happens to be running 5th, dead last, against a slow pace. At the second call, he's 4th, 2 behind, still got 1 horse beaten. Now, if you want to shade this and say it's a presser, you might want to look at the racing form for that day and look at Pay the Butler's style, which is not a presser. But that's a careful shading. That's the reason we're using the number of entries. The horse. Now, suppose this had been a 12-horse field. And this horse had been running 12th, 3.5 behind. Who's he pressing? 11 other horses. He's not a presser. That's the reason we're using the number of entries, because it's an important shading here. He's running last. So don't get too hung up with beaten lengths. Use that first call position to decide what kind of a horse you're really looking for. And the turf course has been heavily biased toward the closers. Second race. Or the 9th race, 1 1/16 on the turf course. 8 entries. The winner was 7th, 4.5 behind. 6th, 2.5 behind. What's his style? He's a closer, sustained, yeah. All right, now let me add a little other data. You'll have to work both sides of the page because I'm going to take the races in order. This is yesterday's card. This will move a little faster, and then I'll give you some additional conclusions from the first week, and we'll have the kind of horse that we're looking for at Hollywood Park. The first race yesterday, 6 furlongs. Just add it to the 6 furlong side. 12 horses. The winner was 6th by 4, 6th by 5. What's the running style in that situation? Closer, isn't it? Sustained?